wants to drink and come and drink at the river and fountain of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. It's good to be with you again in the house of the Lord, as always. There's nothing like fellowship with God, and there's nothing like fellowship with God's people around the Word of God.
Amen.
So we just love being family and a part of this group, and just, you know, constantly watching over and praying and just asking the Lord to keep us in unity and keep us happy and happy to dwell with each other and walk with each other and work with each other and pray for each other. So we just want to thank the Lord for what he's done for us. It's good to be with you. Most of you know, I just want to share a couple of things real quick. Most of you know that we, Brother Daniel, goes down to Honduras and does some missionary work with Brother Paco. And so Brother Paco, he sends us reports and quite often of the things that the Lord does. He sends quite a few emails to Brother Daniel and copied me on a couple of them. And I just wanted to kind of share a couple of the testimonies. These testimonies come through quite often. But here was a couple last night. And just so that you know the things that are going on, and so I won't have all the details because I don't know these brothers and their names necessarily, but he gave one testimony of a brother Kalen having services in Brother Kalen's house. He was connected with the Church of God denomination, and so the Lord got a hold of him, brought him to the message, and as it turned out, there was about six people that got baptized in his own family. Well, this brother, being in the Church of God church denomination, the church had come to his house and had erected a place there on his property to have meetings, a little building of some sort there. They were having a shelter there. And so when he gave his heart to the Lord under the message and his family got baptized, the Church of God denomination, well, obviously they got real mad at him. And so now they've come and they've told him that he has to pay them for that building that's there on his property that they put there. And not only that, but he had to pay back to them all the funds they spent ministering to his family. You ever heard such a thing? But say, now I'm saying this because now you see what that consists of. See what denominations they're tied to. What's more important? You know, that kind of thing. And so we believe, obviously, that the Lord, he will take care of that situation. And the brother said, well, I don't have a problem paying you back for the building. I think he probably realized that other part's ridiculous, but yeah. So he gave another testimony. They went to Puerto Lempira, mm-hmm. And so he was there. And there's a brother, Raphael Blackhouse, and there was a woman who was, I don't know, she looks pretty old in the picture. She looks to me like she might be in your, I don't know, maybe 70s or 80s. And you looked at the picture, brother. She's pretty old, but she was dying. She went to the hospital there, and they finally done all they could do for her, and she was dying, and they sent her home to die. But Brother Raphael went over there and prayed for her, and the Lord healed her.
Amen.
And so her two daughters and a great-granddaughter and so forth, and they're all being baptized. So, you know, he is still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I just felt like maybe sharing a couple of those testimonies with you this morning. I appreciate what the Lord does, and we told Brother Paco we appreciate him letting us be a part of his ministry there, helping him to reach those places that we can't. So we thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to open to St. John chapter 14. I don't mean to keep you standing, but just wanted to share that real quick before we switch gears into ministry of the Word. St. John chapter 14, verse 1. This is the Lord speaking. Sometimes these jackets that we wear as ministers, sometimes they feel like a straight jacket. Uh-huh. Trying to get out of them, you know. But anyway, St. John chapter 14, verse 1, the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." I'm sure he said that because certainly Satan wants your heart to be troubled. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, now Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He said, I'm the way, right? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. Now let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, and we'll pray, and then we'll let you be seated. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Paul speaking, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to just give praise and honor and glory to you this morning, Lord. We want to enter into your gates and into your courts with praise and thanksgiving for all that you've done for us, Lord. We know that in our own human frail mind, we can't grasp the capacity of all the things that you've done and prepared for us, Lord. But in the Spirit, Lord, you revealed to us these blessings and this position that we hold now within you. We ask, God, this morning that as we are your children, Lord, that you allow us to sit at your table and eat from your table this morning, Lord, and be able to just be fed on your word and the truths, Lord, that have been given to us, that they would come, Lord, in clarity. And, Lord, that we would just be able to enjoy being in your presence and with your people today. We know it just lays within your hands. It's just all up to you, Lord. But we just surrender ourselves to you now. We present ourselves before you as trophies of your grace, asking, God, that you would take anything away that is a hindrance to us now. Me as a minister and also as your people to hear, we ask, God, that you'd come and orchestrate each moment, each time, each thing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about the way. Amen. How many wants to know the way?
Amen.
You know, there's only one the way. Jesus said, I am the way. We'll talk about that as we go through there. But I'll be quoting Brother Branham. I'm not necessarily reading the quotes, but I'm going to quote it at the same time. But you can go listen to it. The sermon he preached, God who is rich in mercy. And in that sermon, Brother Branham talks about that. He says, you know, in order for us to come into faith, we have to totally, completely leave everything about us. At one point in there, he talks about, he said, there can't be anything, any desire of our own in there. Not, in other words, not our idea, not anything that we would think or whatever. We have to totally, completely come out of that in order to come into faith. It has to, in other words, it has to come right into God's program and not anything left out. We don't want to be living with our foot stuck out in some previous something. But to totally, completely come into faith, we want to come into the way or into God's way. And that means we have to come out of our thinking and come out of the culture. And so everything that this world has instilled into you, we've got to escape all that if it's not part of the truth, right? We want to escape all that. And he said you have to come out of all those things. And of course, if you come out of all those things, then you will be coming into the way, the right way, the truth. Because God has always provided a way for his people in every age. And so I believe thoroughly there is a way for us in this hour. And so we have obstacles before us. We have things that the enemy wants to hold us back with. There's all kinds of chains that he wants to be on you, to hold you back and keep you from realizing your potential in God.
Right.
And that's what he wants to do. But God has a way to break those chains. He has a way for you to come free from that so that you can possess everything that God wants you to have in this hour. And it's no, there's, you know, it's just, that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it is in this hour. And so once we find that way, once we realize what that way is and how it all has been given to us, and we want to put all of our efforts into that, we could never overemphasize the way, the truth, the life. We could never put too much emphasis on that. We could never be, I've heard this, people say this, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I hope so. You know what I'm saying? We can never be too heavenly minded, right? Because heaven consists of the Word, right? Heaven is consists of the Word. Because heaven is a place you can't get to without something get you there.
Yeah, right.
Right? We can't just jump out there and go soar into the heavens in the natural sea. So it takes something to gift us to be able to rise up into heaven. And so people can't soar in through the Word. They can't get into the things of God except God gift them with the Holy Spirit and God give to them something to allow them to enter into that Word and soar into the heavens of the Word and be able to have the blessings that the Word wants them to have. They can't have that in themselves.
Yeah.
And so we want to put every emphasis that we can upon the Word and on the right way, as we want to talk about. So God has given us the right way in this hour, just like He has in every day, and because He's infinite, and if he provided it for the apostles, or if He provided it for anybody in any other age, and He doesn't provide it for us, then He wouldn't be God, right? He has to provide it, just like He has always done.
Amen.
And so in this day, when He's provided us the way, and this truth, and this life, as He said He is, and always will be, this way has come to us in this form, in this end time, as a message to let us know some things that we need to know. And one of those things is that there is to be a third Exodus. I want to ask you a question. If you were going to denominational churches, do you think that anybody out there would ever tell you there's going to be a third Exodus?
No.
They wouldn't even have told you there was a second one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All they would know is that there was one there in the Bible to read about. But now we can see, after it's been brought to us, and we can look back and realize there was a first Exodus, there's a second Exodus, and there's a third Exodus.
Right.
And this third Exodus is not just taking us from one physical place to another physical place, or from one spiritual condition to another spiritual condition, even though it is spiritual, but it's taking us from this earth into the land of the living, where we're absolutely talking about that when this third Exodus is done, we have body change. That's what we'll have when this third Exodus is complete. And so it let us know that there was a third Exodus. And also, if there's an Exodus, then there would have to be a Joshua. And so this is kind of where I was talking about. We have to come out of something and go into something.
Right.
And so God, through His Bible and through His Word, He's doing the same thing today that He did back then. He brought an Exodus, and that Exodus brought the people out of Egypt. But then there was a ministry of Joshua, which was to take the people into the promise. So He has to do the same thing today. He has to bring a prophet on the scene to bring us out of something that was holding us and take us into something that is the blessing that what He wants. And so for this hour, what God wants us to bring us out of is the thing that's holding us back, our Pharaoh today, and He wants to take us into a complete body change. An Exodus to give us. And so it would take a prophet under, like the ministry of Moses, to bring us out. But then there would have to be a shift, a change in ministry that would become a Joshua, which is the same thing as Jesus, Jehovah's Savior, means the same thing. A Joshua who would absolutely take us and place us in the promise. And of course, Brother Ram said that we have to have another Ephesian. Now, not necessarily the age of Ephesus, but another Ephesians, where Ephesians was a parallel to Joshua.
Right.
In other words, Joshua, after God had brought the people out of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt, and He broke the chains that was holding them back there, allowing them to come forth, now there was a place they had to be taken to.
Yeah.
God's not just going to leave you standing in the middle. He's not going to do that. If He started something in your life, He's going to finish it.
Yeah.
And so there would be a shift from the ministry to bring you out, to break those chains, and it would shift into now a ministry that would take you and place you absolutely right smack dab in the middle of what God's got for you. So there's a ministry to take you in this hour, to take you out of the Pharaoh of your day, and take you plumb out and place you right in the middle of a body change, right in the middle of rapture. And so that's what has to happen there. So, you know, Pharaoh was held the people, and he had them in bondage, and he had them under chains, and he had them under all kinds of things that would not allow them to go forth into what God would have them to do. And until something came and broke those chains and broke that bondage, the people were held right there. And the people couldn't break those chains. It had to be God. So I'm saying this because it's the same way now. God would have to come and bring this third Exodus to pass. And he'll use a prophet to do it, which he did. And there will be a ministry of Joshua that will take the people in. And this time, when this is done, it takes us into life eternal. Takes us into a body change. And so how many wants to have eternal life? Yeah. How are you going to get it? How are you going to get it? You're going to go find it for yourself? Now, I want each one of you to stop and think about this and listen to what I'm saying. Provide some eternal life for yourself. Provide it for yourself and for somebody else. It's really interesting to me. It's like I remember when my stepdad passed away, who's the dad of my younger brother. And I went to the funeral. And my younger brother, Austin, he was, you know, a late teenager, I guess, about that time. I'm not sure exactly what year it was. But, I mean, he was, and I'm not condemning him for being devastated that his dad had passed away. I'm not, you know, but his dad had been not in the best health. And so he should have seen it coming. And at the time, it just seemed really strange to me that he was acting as though he was blindsided, that he never saw this coming. And I realize sometimes that happens to people. I'm not condemning that. But it just seems strange to me that people can live their lives and act like there's never a day coming where it's going to end.
Right.
It just seems strange to me. People should always be recognizing that we have a specific allotted amount of time on this earth. Yeah. And when that time is done and God takes us from here, there won't be any more opportunities to get things right if we didn't get them right. There won't be any more opportunities to say, I'm sorry, if you haven't said you're sorry. Yep. You know what I'm saying? We should live right and make right and do what we can to live in peace with everyone and do what's right while we're here, because there's a time clock punch coming.
Amen.
And so, and we know that's the way it is. So, we know our time clock, time's clicking. And at some point, that buzzer's going to go off for each one of us.
Yep.
Now, sometime between now and then, get you some eternal life, because you're going to need it when that clock sounds. Mm-hmm. Get you some eternal life. And if you're probably thinking like I am, you're probably thinking, well, Brother Tony, I can't. Right? But that clock's ticking.
Yep.
Don't be in denial. Our clock is ticking. And so, this should bring before us the realization of the desperacy that should be there, that we need to find eternal life before our clock goes out.
Yeah, right.
Right? We need to find that eternal life. And I'm saying all that to tell you, God don't want you to find it in yourself, because you can't find it in yourself, but he provides it for you.
Yeah.
And so, the greatest thing that we could find, as we read in the scriptures there, he said, you know, we were dead in sins and trespasses, but God, who is rich in mercy, right?
Yeah.
We were dead in sins and trespasses, and we needed eternal life and couldn't provide it for ourselves. So God, who's rich in mercy, not you, not your neighbor, not your church, but God, who's rich in mercy, can make a way that you could have this life, and you need it. You better find it. Your clock's ticking. You better start searching for it. If you're not seriously looking for God, you better be.
Yeah.
Because time is clicking and you need this life. And so it's the greatest thing that we could possibly get. The greatest thing we could ever get is life.
Right.
Brother Brown talks about this, that we dead in sins and trespasses, and here we are in this condition, and we need life. And he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, he said, God is rich in all kinds of things. He's rich in money. He's rich in all this stuff. You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as we say. And God, just, he owns the whole universe.
Right.
Right? But if he wasn't rich in mercy, where would that leave you and I? He does. He owns the whole thing. He could speak an entire planet
that's a paradise for us, and move us to that place off of this corrupted earth, and give us a wonderful place on some other planet somewhere if he wanted to. If he wanted to do it that way, he can do all that. But see, if he had all the strength and ability to do those things, and he does, but yet not be merciful to us in our sinful condition, see? So mercy is such a great gift. Of all the great treasures that God has behind his name and his riches, the greatest is his mercy.
Yeah.
That he would have mercy upon us to provide a way for us where we could get out of this condition we're in. Brother Bram said, we deserve to die because we were sinners. We deserve to be left in the place that we were in the state we were in. But God is rich in mercy and said, no, I'm not going to leave you in that spot. And so we're so thankful that he's done that. And you find out that God has done that in every age. Every people of every age, when they find themselves in conditions that aren't the best in the world, God has always been merciful to extend to them. Now, he's not just looked away and said, it's okay. No, he has to deal with sin. He has to deal with issues. And so, but out of his mercy, when we're in that condition, he comes along and he has found a way to remedy the situation. He's done it through the ages over and over and over.
Amen.
And we believe that. We've seen it. I've seen it in my own life.
Amen.
He's rich in mercy. Through the ages, even when we find ourselves in a condition where we deserve it, God has been rich in mercy.
Yeah.
We'll cover a couple of cases, one or two on this as we go, so you see what I'm talking about. Even when we find ourselves in a place where we deserve it, he's still rich in mercy. And so we find out in this day, he's been rich in mercy to us. Not just as sinners. But here we are, we find ourselves in a situation where all the denominational world had everything all messed up and mixed up, and we wouldn't understand which way was up. As I said a while ago, go find you some life. Well, I'll tell you the same thing. Go tell me what's wrong. If it hadn't been for a prophet and a message, tell me what was wrong with denomination. Where were they getting it wrong? Why was there so much confusion? Fix it. I didn't know how to fix it. You didn't know how to fix it. But God, who is rich in mercy, came and provided a way for us in this hour. And we want to find that way. We want to get into that way and support that way with everything that we can. And could never overemphasize expressing the support that we need to for that way, because that is the way of life.
Yeah.
That's what we want to be involved in this hour. So he's done it again in our day, using a prophet to come and tear down the strongholds of Pharaoh. I want to ask you a question. How did God do that? In our day, how did God send a prophet to tear down the things that were holding you and I back? How did he do that? How did he destroy that influence? The way he did it was to tear those things down that were holding you.
Yeah.
To take away the strength of the systems and the things that were holding you. Remember, God wants to take you from where you are now into a body change. And in order to do that, he has to strike at those things that are going to hold you.
Right.
That are holding you. He has to strike those things. And what? So when he would send a prophet, how would he tear down Pharaoh's influence on you? He would destroy that strength that Pharaoh had to hold you. Mm-hmm. So he'd tear those things away, and at some point you would become free, and now you could begin to move out into the things of God because Pharaoh can't hold you no more.
Yeah.
Now we're in Exodus. So God meant for us in this hour to go free from something and go into something. And so he has sent a prophet in this day. And so the way that he does that, the way that prophet come and was to tear down Pharaoh, was to tear down false teaching, false doctrine, false things. And when he begins to destroy those things, in other words, if you were of a mindset there were three gods, you were bound. And there's no way believing something like that you could soar out and go out there into the things that God wants you to go out to. It couldn't happen. So this prophet, remember, it has to be a prophet and then it has to be a Joshua. This prophet would come and strike those things and take away those things that Pharaoh wanted to hold you back with. And then he'd be able to set you free. And so he would do it by tearing down false doctrines, false teachings. And this is where we get into core things of the message. So you find out in this sermon where God, who's rich in mercy, Brother Bram starts doing it, and he goes through this sequence. So he says, as he gets to this point, he's talking about how that Pharaoh and all this stuff, and he gets to this point, and he says, you, when you were born in this world, had a little deposit of life of God in you. Now, where do you hear that? Elsewhere. No denomination will come there and tell you that when you come into this world, you automatically, because their idea is that, well, it, you know, it's just whoever and whatever. But they don't recognize the election of God. And so Brother Ram comes along and remember, he's got to tear down things that are holding us back. And so if we are of a mindset that there's no such thing as an election of God, then we're bound. So Brother Branham has to hit that, right? He has to hit that. If you think there's three gods and that's not right, he's got to hit that. If he wants to make you think that there's no such as serpent seed, Satan does, then that prophet's got to hit that and tear that down.
Right.
That's why it's so important for us to embrace these truths that have been revealed. Because each of these truths are the things that cut us free from Pharaoh. So we have to receive these things and embrace these things, because this is what sets us free. And it's a change of mindset. Remember I said you got to come out of your mind, out of your thinking, and come out of the cultural thinking to go into the truth and into faith. We have to come out of all these things. And so this word is going to take those things away from us, destroy those influences that are holding us, like three gods and all these things that the world wants to tell you, even something as simple as them saying hell's eternal. It's not.
Right.
And if people believe that, there's other portions of the word that they won't understand, so therefore they're not soaring into the heavens of the word because they're confused about the word.
Right.
So it took some clarity, took a prophet to come along and destroy these false teachings and false things that were binding us, that Pharaoh was binding us, which bleached right over into the flesh and into the world church system, whatever. He had to cut those things off so now we can soar in the heavens. Because with those things, we'd never soar.
Yeah.
We could never understand the word to clarity in rapturing faith because of these false truths. So he had to come along and strike those things. And that, once again, was Moses standing here challenging Pharaoh. And that's what Brother Brad, God used him to do. He challenged this generation, challenged the denominations, and destroyed their false teachings.
Yep.
So he says, when you were born here, you had this deposit of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, like his eagle story, we're so familiar with, how that farmer set the eagle egg under the hen's nest. And the issue he was talking about there was that he was an eagle to begin with.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference. You could take a believer who's predestinated to be a child of God. You could set him in a Catholic nest. You could set him in a Presbyterian nest. You could set him out in the midst of a people that worship the devil, heathens or whatever. Doesn't make any difference. I don't care where they're at. If they're a gene of God, they're a gene of God. That's what he's saying. He said he was put in that chicken pen and he was an eagle. And because he was an eagle, he couldn't totally embrace that false teaching.
Right.
He couldn't feel comfortable about it. This diet is not feeding me. There's something I want more. There's got to be something greater than what they're giving me. That's the concept there. That we come to the realization that feeding on the things of this world is not satisfying.
Yes.
Feeding on the denominational teachings is not satisfying. So he said, each one of us come to that. He said, each one of us could look back and say, well, as a kid, there was things that all the rest of the kids, they could just go and run and do or whatever. And he said, but not you. Not you. Something was there and it wouldn't let you go in like that, see? Go in the excess. And I had friends around me, they would just seem like there was no limits to what they were willing to do.
Yeah.
Wrong. But something throttled me back. I made mistakes, don't get me wrong, but something held me back. And I remember even as a kid, you know, I thought of God.
Yeah.
I remember as far back, just about can't remember hardly any further back than this, but I remember, and when I'd get somewhere and I would have a pain or something, I remember one time, I've said this before, I think we was Remember off down the corner of the bedroom you lived in with when we had our chicken pen back there? It's a pretty good sized chicken pen to me as a kid. It looked big. But on the back side of that chicken pen was a great big thing that was leaning up against the back, and it looked like to me like a giant cake pan for memory. But if you remember something laying on the back side there, it was leaning up, and it was really, to me, it was really long. I remember crawling back underneath that thing, so I'm underneath this thing leaning up against the chicken pen, and I'm underneath this thing, and a stomach pain hits me like I just couldn't hardly move. And I remember sitting right there, right underneath that thing, and talking to God, believing, asking Him for help, looking to Him for help. And so Brother Bram says, many of you can look back and see things like in this in your life back there. And he said, see, that was that germ of life. That was that germ of the seed gene of God laying there and trying to express itself, see. But it can't fully express itself until it comes to birth, right? A seed cannot fully express what it is as long as it's laying in there, but it takes the sunshine and the, you know, to bring it forth, to be quickened. So he said, you are like that. He said, well, see, that was the gene of God inside your heart. Now, what's he doing? What is Brother Brandon when he's doing this? He's tearing down Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. He wants you to know, he wants you to get this out of Pharaoh's hands, to get your salvation, to get your exodus, get your body changed. Let's get it out of the hands of Pharaoh. Let's get it out of your hands.
Yep.
Let's get it in the hands of God where it belongs, so that you quit doubting about who you are.
Right.
You believe what God said about you. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's trying to do. So he strikes at Pharaoh and he says, you were born with a gene of God when you come here. You mean even if I hadn't repented? Yes. Even if you hadn't repented, you come here with a gene of God in your heart.
Yeah.
Now I'm speaking to believers of the elect, okay? I couldn't say this to somebody out there that's, you know, but just, it's true. We were born here, the elect of God, were born here with that gene of God. So now let's get it out of our hands and get it in the hands of God. You're elect.
Right.
You're an elect people. Into the hands of God. And so Brother Graham said, now what happened there? He says, when the word is preached and you're born again, that gene comes alive. And he said, the word that's in you recognizes the word of God. This is the way he talked about it. And so the word in you, that gene in you is part word. That's how you're part of God, because God is the word and he's the only form of eternal life. And you've got that. He said, if your name's on the book of life, you always were.
Right.
You always were. So that gene laying there, and he said, that gene knows how to recognize the word. That's the very thing that births it when it gets in the presence of the word.
Yeah.
So he said, the word recognizes the word. Mm-hmm. Now you may say, Brother Tony, especially our young people, you may say, well, Brother Tony, I don't know that I have in my heart what you're talking about. I don't know if I've seen that yet. Well, don't let that bother you, because God loves you, and he's got you in a place where you can hear the word. He's got you in a place where he can give you a foundation, because he knows what he's going to do with you in future days.
Amen.
Okay? He knows this. Satan might want to try and make you think you don't know what's going on, but God knows you, and he's got you. He's raised you up in a godly family. They're telling you things that are right. They want you to live and grow up and be raised in the admonition of God, so that God can take that as a foundation and do great exploits with your life. That's what he's going to do and wants to do. And you may say, well, I don't necessarily recognize it. Well, Sister Bruce hadn't even recognized the full potential of what she was coming into. But Brother Bram said, I've examined you under vision, and there's not a problem there, sister. See? So you don't have to understand it. You don't have to totally comprehend it or feel it or understand it. But it's the word of God. He said you came here with a germ of life in you. And that germ is ordained to recognize the word when it comes across your pathway. And so you say, well, Brother Tony, I've sat in church and all that, and I don't necessarily feel that way. Well, let's look at Apostle Paul.
Come on.
Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yep.
He was trained as strict in the word, into the Torah and the teachings of all the Pharisees and all the religious orders of his day. He should have, you know how Brother Brim said they could take the scrolls and they could run a pin through there, and without even opening the scroll, just pushing that pin through there, and they could tell you every scripture, every letter where that pin come through, and you could open the scroll out and you could find every pinhole where it went through, and they'd be right. They'd be right. That's how well they knew the word. And Paul was saying, look, I was the strictest of them all, above all my peers. I was out there. But he didn't know God.
Yeah. Come on.
Now we know Paul was elect.
Yeah.
We know when his mother gave birth to him and Paul come into this world, we know that Paul had that germ gene of life of God in him. Because God used him later on as the first church age messenger, as the man that God would commit the entire ministry to go out and bring to the Gentiles and bring a Gentile bride on the teachings of Paul, and a prophet in the last day would have to abide by those same teachings.
Right.
So we know Paul was elect. And yet there was all those years that he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He went through and did all these things, and yet he didn't know God.
Yeah.
So you may not think you know God right now. But I'm telling you, you're born with a gene of God in your life, and God knows the hour, the minute, the second that gene's going to come alive.
Amen.
And so what happened? Not just when Paul got in the presence of Jesus, because, you know, Paul was in that position. He didn't just get there for one day. He had been there in that position for a while. He had studied for years. So you know Paul knew about Jesus when Jesus was walking the earth.
Yeah.
You know he was here. He probably seen it. He might have been at some meetings. He probably was in some of the council meetings. Paul knew about Jesus before he met him.
Yeah.
And he wound out persecuting the way of the gospel because the system he was in was persecuting that way. But I have to tell you that something in Paul's life, that's just me saying this, but what I understand Brother Ram saying about this, that there was always a question in Paul's mind. There was something down inside there all along that was digging at him, though he was raised up in that strict family tradition to be in that place he was to be.
Yeah.
So something had to happen and take over in Paul's heart that would cause him to rise up from all that had been taught him that was holding him back.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul had a Pharaoh. Paul had something that was holding him, and that system would have him going out persecuting the church and doing things that wasn't right. And he said, I did it all through ignorance. Did it all through ignorance. But God, who's rich in mercy, God came along, and all of a sudden one day, Paul did not just beat Jesus Christ the letter, right? But Paul met the living word. The time was right, and he met the living word. And when that happened, that seed of God that was in his heart was quickened.
Amen.
See? So you may not feel like you're where we talk about so much in the gospel and behind the pulpit about these things. But you commit yourself to God and believe his word, and you'll watch, and you'll see there's a timing God has for you that he will quicken things in your life and send you out there making converts for him.
Amen.
We believe that. So we come into the world with this germ of life, and in that germ of life is the word that's ready to recognize the word. And when that word comes into the presence, and the timing's right, comes into the presence of the living word, like Paul did, you're quickened. Now you've got the Word living in your heart. It was predestinated to be there. It was kind of prodding at you all along. But now it's birthed. And once you birth something, you can't kill it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't unbirth it. You could, you know, you can kill something, but you can't unbirth it.
Right.
So when it's birthed, it's a birth. And so now you've got the living Word in your heart, and you can't kill the living Word. You can't kill the Word. So now you've got eternal life. You can't, that which is birthed in you. Now I said a while ago, get life. Go get it.
Yeah.
You can't, but God will give it to you.
That's right.
God has predestinated you to have it. And once it's birthed in your heart, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul.
Amen.
Right? See what I'm saying? So I told Anna, I did my taxes, and tax people messed up on it. And you know, it's a bunch of, you know, they messed up and had to go and do an amended return and all that because they messed up. And I don't even remember a conversation, but she asked me something about it. And I said, They can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul, you know? The tax people, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. You know, so something birthed in your life, this Word of God birthed. Now it's living. And since it is the incorruptible Word, they can't kill that. So now you've reached something. See, like I said a while ago, the greatest thing that could ever happen is for you to find life. The greatest thing that could ever happen is for that germ of life, that gene of life, to be birthed in your life. Because once that happens, it can't be reversed. It cannot be reversed. You're predestinated to have it. Now, Brother Brown starts telling this, and I've used a lot more words than he has, but he starts telling us, what's he doing? He's cutting away Pharaoh's influence on you. Because now when you believe, wait a minute, the election of God is a truth out of his word, and I can see it in my own life working. I remember seeing, I saw how that he had a hunger in my heart, and I was in that chicken pen, I couldn't understand, and all of a sudden, something's birthed. Now Pharaoh don't hold you with that no more. Now you know better. Now you know that this lays in God's hands, not Pharaoh's hands. It lays in God's hands, not just your hands. See, it's in God's hands. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So now you've been set free, and so now understanding a truth like that, now you're more able to go out into what God wants you for you, and in this day, it's a body change you're going out into. You're more able to do it now. And so when this begins to take place in your house, in your life, and you're birthed into the Word, or that Word's birthed into you by the Word, this is now, what Brother M said, now this is where you as eagles, you get your wings. Yep. He said, God gives his people, gives his eagles wings. And so now when this happens, now you've got this ability, this revelation now in your heart to know these things that we're talking about. And that equips you to be able to fly away from Pharaoh. That equips you to be able to fly away from these things that were holding you back. To fly away from Pharaoh, fly away from your own thinking, fly away from the cultural things and wrong revelations, that are flying to that which is right and that which is going to make you free, that which makes you free. Let's read St. John chapter 8, verse 32 through 36, I believe is what it is. So Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man, so how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. You know what a servant is? That means you got a master over you, and you can't do what you want to do. You're going to do what he wants, and you're going to sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Now he's making a comparison here. He's saying, look, here's a master over this house, and a servant, you're underneath him, and you're under bondage, and you'll always be under bondage. But the son, he's not under bondage. Never has been. So if the son is your master, then you're free. Right? This is what he's saying. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, right? Because the son's not under bondage. He's the master. He's the heir.
Yeah.
So if the son sets you free, if that's who your master is, that's who your Lord is, he sets you free, then you are free indeed.
Yeah.
You're not a servant anymore. And so the idea there is that if your master is the devil, if your master is sin, he'll never let you go. You'll always be a servant. But if the Son is your Lord, then he makes you free. You're going to be free indeed. But the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God, is the Word of God. So the Word is what makes you free, not these false teachings. The Word makes you free. So Brother Bam's talking about this. He says, you know, you're predestinated. And he goes back and he talks about the children of Israel. They were predestinated of God. God came down basically saying, this people, Moses, I've come down. I've heard their cry. I've come down. I'm going to set them free. I'm sending you. What God was saying is paraphrasing, I've come down. I have a people here on the earth that are the elect people. I'm going to take them to a promised land. I know they've made mistakes. I know they deserve where they're at. But they're my people. They're my elect. And I'm going to perform in them what I said. And so now I've got to come down. I've got to get involved. And I've got to make Pharaoh let them go so they can come out to the place that I want them to be.
Right.
This is what he's saying. He's come down and he's doing that. And so he's telling that. And he says that, you know, that they were... Because of this, God, who's rich in mercy, comes down and he gets Pharaoh all messed up and he has to set him free. And now they're on their journey and they get down to the Red Sea. And now they're in a place where they need God's help. And God parts the water and they go over. And he says, now Pharaoh comes along behind him and he thinks he can do the same. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh thinks that he can cross that water. He can send his army across that parted waters like the children of Israel. And Brother Ram said, but there was no promise in the word for Pharaoh.
That's right.
All right? So God's going to do things in your life. He wants to do things in your life. And he's going to do those things in your life because you're his elect people, born here with a germ of life in your heart to come to it.
Yeah.
He's going to do those things, but you're going to see a lot of people around you who can't do this. You're going to see people who want to follow you and can't follow you.
That's right.
Right? So he said Pharaoh wanted to go too, but Pharaoh was not elect. Mm-hmm. And Brother Ram said, here's the thing. Why was God rich in mercy to the children of Israel when they got down to the Red Sea and so forth? Why was he merciful to them? He said, because they were following in the line of duty. They were following the word. In other words, they were saying to walk out and walk this walk that God had set them free and was putting them on. In other words, they had been touched by a message. They'd been set free from a lot of Pharaoh's bondage and all the things. Now they can begin to move out into the things of God, and Satan wants to stop them. He wants to stop them, and this thing's behind them, but God wants to take them to a place where this thing behind you, you'll see it no more. So he comes down there and he's parting the water and he's getting ready to take them completely over and get rid of Pharaoh altogether. And Pharaoh thinks he can go too.
Yeah.
And of course, you know what happened to Pharaoh. But the reason why that happened was because Pharaoh was not elect. And if he wasn't elect, that means that there was no promise in the word for him. He couldn't do these things. He couldn't follow. Now this follows us in the type here, where only eagles can fly and soar high. Back to what we said a while ago. Only eagles can soar in heaven.
Yeah.
And to be up there is to be able to see things and to experience things. But mainly to be up there is to be away from the earthboundness and all the things that limit you here and there and all that. All these, this bondage of gravity is destroyed when you have wings and can soar. And an eagle can soar higher, deeper into the word, have more manifestation of the word, you know, than anybody else. In other words, right there at the top manifestation of the word is body change. Mm-hmm. And only eagles can reach that place by predestination of God, because God has given them wings to do so.
Yeah.
Only they can reach that. And no matter how many try to impersonate it and how to go, try to do whatever, only those eagles can reach that place and experience the full blessings of the Word of God. Though there are many that soar underneath there, many denominational levels of blessings of God and all that, but for the bride of Christ, the elect of God, that position is only to them. Eagles are the only ones can soar that high in the Word and reach that place. The others can be saved, but only the bride can have that body change. So the eagles can soar in the heavens, and heaven consists of the word. You know, when you talk about water or air, it has something, and I don't know if they apply this to air, or maybe they do, I'm showing my ignorance, I guess, but there's something called viscosity. You can have water that's got a certain thickness to it. It pours out a certain way. Well, honey's got a thicker viscosity. You pour it out, it's a lot thicker, a lot slower. And here's the thing. Water fish are actually flying in water. Their fins are made in such a way that their fins interact with the viscosity of the water, and so they're flying in the water.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Birds fly in the air, but air doesn't have near the viscosity that water does. So now birds, you take a fish and say, fly in the air, he's going to lay on the ground. Because his wings are not made for the viscosity of what he's trying to fly in, if he was trying to put him in air. Uh-huh. But birds' wings are made to interact with the viscosity of the air, the thickness of the air, and so they're able to fly in the air because they're equipped for that environment. And if the air, if the heavens is the word, then when God, as Brother Branham said, God comes down and he, by this birth of this seed within you, he gives to you wings. He gives you wings. So God, by this birth of his spirit, his word in you, alive in you, now you've got something that's equipped you and you are purposed to be up there in the viscosity of the air of the word. And you're equipped with something can now swim or fly in the air in the word. So your wings are made for that.
Right.
Not just a certain height, but to go all the way up. Because, you know, as you get higher in the air, the viscosity gets thinner.
Right.
You can't take an airplane that they could, but it's harder. For an airplane, of course, when you're flying and you got this thicker air down low, it's harder. You know, there's more friction and more drag. They call it drag. There's more drag over the plane as you're trying to fly through this. So there's more resistance. But if you can fly higher, that air gets thinner. And now you can really get up and go. And they have to, these rockets, you know, that's Pentecost, just airplanes. But these rockets, they have to get up there. And they get up to that spot. Now they can really take off. And they circle the earth again. They pick up speed way up there where there's nothing to hold them back. But in order to be up there, they've got to have the wings for that environment. They might be able, a plane might be able to fly down here just fine. But you get him up there where it's a lot thinner, he can't fly unless he's made for it.
Uh-huh.
This is the eagle. And so they put them rockets that go into outer space. They get up there and usually circle around and they build up speed so they can break through the gravity and go right out into space. But because they have to get enough speed up to do that. Well, they can't sit down here at 300 feet off the ground and get that kind of speed up to break free from this world.
Right.
They can't do that. They have to get higher. Everything taps, natural, tight, spiritual. See, they have to get higher, but before they can be higher, they got to be made to be higher. They got to be equipped to be higher. And once they get higher, now they can fly up there in that realm. And that's where they reach the potential where they can break free once and for all of the gravity of the earth.
Amen.
This is body change. Once and for all, to break free from the things that hold us back. Because even in Pentecost, we could soar in the blessings of God, but we had to come right back down again. See what I'm saying? But now God has taken us up to even higher level, and higher level, higher in the Word.
Yeah.
And he wants us to take that gift, God who's rich in mercy, where we should have been dead, should have been left in our denominational condition. He has given to us his mercy, given to us a gift of a prophet to take us out of an exodus and actually make it to where we can soar and go into a body change and go into the land of the living.
Yeah.
And so, wings that can overcome. Now what are we talking about? So you got to be equipped that you can stick those wings out there into the Word.
Yeah.
And you got to move those wings. Interact those wings with the Word. And what happens? When you do that, the word, the viscosity of the word, the thickness, the truth of the word.
Yeah.
What it says to you that you can have. God says, here it is, it's all around you. The word's all around you and it's thick enough. And if you'll just stick my gifted wings out there that I've given you, if you'll just stick those wings out and begin to move them in my word, then your wings are made to interact with that word in such a way that if you'll put them to work, they'll break the barrier of gravity that it has upon you, that in other words, the reaction of your wings in that air is greater than what wants to hold you here.
Amen.
Think about that. It's greater. That's what happens. The power that you can exert in that air and then within wings has to be more than what is holding you back here. That's how it works. But those, you know, those wings are an interaction of how they're made versus the viscosity of the air, the nature of the air, how it's made. And so what God is telling us is that this gift of this birth that I've given you, and I've given you wings, I've given you something that will allow you to soar into my word. And the word and the promises the word has to you and the wings that I've given you, those form a relationship that if you will use those, it's greater than any kind of gravity, amen, any kind of weight that you have.
That's right.
Right.
Use them.
Amen.
Use those wings. You couldn't fly, you couldn't take a boat and make a boat go 600 miles an hour underwater because the viscosity is too thick.
Yeah.
But the air, and you can't see the air. You can see water, but you can't see the air. Wind blows, uh-huh, feel it, but you don't know where it's coming, where it's going. You can't see it. So God, what's he saying? God's telling you, like, okay, so you're giving me wings. And you're telling me to stick my wings out and flop them. Uh-huh. Flop them in what?
Right, come on.
Flop them in what? I can't see nothing. You're not supposed to see nothing.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to stick them out into the word and go with it.
That's right.
You say, I don't see it. You don't have, because it's spirit. My words are spirit of life. But you stick those out into the word and you begin to move, and that interaction of you putting the word into action, or putting your wings into action, making that word work for you, you begin to lift off of this earth. And now the things that hold you back, the potentials that you're limited to, is now removed. Now you've raised a higher potential, and the dangers of the beast and the wild things and all that that's here, now you've risen plumb above that. Those things aren't dangerous to you no more. Uh-huh. When you're caught up in the Holy Spirit, those things can't harm you. But, of course, you come back down, it can.
Yeah.
But what if you can go up and stay up?
Yes.
Will you ever have to worry about the wolf trying to attack you again if you go out and break free from gravity? You'll never have to worry about those things ever again. You never have to worry about another pain, another sickness, another sorrow. None of that stuff if you'll break free once and for all. Body change. And God has given you the wings to do so. As an eagle, in Psalms 55 verse 6, I didn't give it to her, but David says, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. You know what? Doves have wings too. And this is a little spinoff of this, a little rabbit trail. But he said, oh, if I had the wings of a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. Mm-hmm. Now think about it. Because this is what we're talking about. If I had wings of a dove or had wings of an eagle, either one, I could fly away and be at rest. Why? Because as long as I'm earthbound, I'm not at rest. But oh, if I could just, because David was going through something, if I could just have the wings, I'd just soar away and I'd go into a place where I could relax and I'd be comfortable and I could rest in the promises of God. So we got to have these wings. And remember, that last beast represented there, that last of the four beasts was the one with the wings, it had the wings of a flying eagle. So they weren't back here. The wings. It was a flying eagle.
Yep.
But this beast, his wings were out like this. Okay?
Right.
So this beast was interacting with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was working for him.
Yep.
The Word was working mightily in him. Right? The Word was working for him. And that's the representation of the anointing that God would send upon his church in this day to represent him. A flying eagle. And so we want to fly away and be at rest. So this is what God did with the children of Israel. Brought them out into an exodus. And so they're on their way. And Pharaoh tried to follow them. But Pharaoh couldn't because Pharaoh wasn't elect. And so they went out and they got on the other side. And even in their journey, even when they got out of the way and did something wrong, they got into a place where they were murmuring, God was merciful to them. This is why Brother Branham preached this. In 1965, God, who is rich in mercy, and he's telling them, he's saying, look, you were born with this gene. You had it. You're just like Pharaoh, like Moses and his people. You were ordained of God to come out, and Pharaoh tried to, and you know, and, but you're going to go places, and even if you get out and get in the way and you do something wrong, God's rich in mercy. Because he knew we'd make failures. We'd have failures. And the bride, we would have, as these years roll on, we're trying to gain this revelation, get these wings out. He knew we'd have failures. So the children of Israel, he typed the children of Israel there. They come along and they get to murmuring, and so the snakes are beginning to bite them. So you'll have troubles if you disobey God. But God, who is rich in mercy, no matter what you do, God is rich in mercy, and for surely full of mercy to you, the elect. Right? We've made all kinds of mistakes. I've made so many mistakes, I'd be ashamed to tell you what they are. Right? We're all that way. But God, who's rich in mercy, it says, it's in my hands, not yours. I'll work with you. I'll deal with you. Where you need to be spanked, I'll spank you. Where you need to be exhorted, I'll exhort you. But you're my elect, and you're going the place that I've got ordained for you. That's the way it works. So I'm not telling you that you can get by with it, because you'll wish you had. If you do something wrong, you'll wish you'd done it right.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change whether or not you're elect.
Man.
So he's talking about Pharaoh, and they get out there, and they have this problem, and so God's rich in mercy, and he has them make a serpent on a pole. And that serpent on the pole, they look at it, and these snakes were biting them, and they look at the serpent on the pole, and they live. Which was a type of Christ on Calvary. We're bit by sin, we look to Christ, we live. So God was rich in mercy, gave him healing. And Brother Ram goes along, he said, but the children of Israel, now we're talking about the elect, and they're moving on. They're going to go to the place God said, but they had a mixed multitude among them. They had people trying to go and go places and do things, and become heirs of the full heirs of this promise that they couldn't do. So they were going along, and he said, the children of Israel began to idolize this serpent that Moses made. And so God had to destroy that. Now think about this. God, they got into a place where they should have, he said, you know, they should have just been in that, you know, they had done wrong and snakes biting them and all that, and they should have just been in that condition. But God was rich in mercy. He come down and made a way of escape and had Moses make this serpent on a pole. So he made the serpent on the pole, they looked to it, they're saved. And then so then after a while, they began to idolize this thing. Many, many, many years later. They began to idolize this thing, this serpent on the pole. They had it and they carried it with them for years.
Yeah.
Say, I don't know if you can read that. If you've read your Bible, you'll know if you've noticed that. That's they carried it with them for a long time. And I think it was under Hezekiah. We'll read it in just a minute. He rose up and he destroyed that thing. And 2 Kings chapter 18, I think it's verse 1 through 4, if you'll put that up there. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was also Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And he removed the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the what? The brazen serpent that who? Had made. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he destroyed this, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan.
Yeah.
You can't idolize the gift, even though God is rich in mercy.
Yeah.
To give a gift in this hour to take us out of the condition where we're in, we can't idolize that gift.
Right.
Because if we idolize that gift, Brother Ram said, God will not share his glory with anyone. We cannot do that, because if he does, he has to destroy it.
Yep.
Brother Ram said also something else that they had done. He said they had gotten to a place where they were not sincere anymore.
Right.
And they said, and I'm just paraphrasing my own words, but we got the brass serpent, something. We can go to that, no big deals. They lost their sincerity.
Yeah.
We don't want to ever lose our sincerity
right.
to what God has done for us. They lost their sincerity. So they destroyed it. Well, when they destroyed that, now there was their healing. Brother Brim was talking about their healing. You know, now that's been destroyed. But God was rich in mercy. And he gave to them the pool of Bethesda. If you remember in the scripture said that at a certain season, an angel would come down and trouble the waters. And when they would trouble the waters, if somebody was sick, the first person that could go and step in that water would be healed of whatever it was he had. Can you imagine a man that was crippled from waist down and couldn't walk? And they, if he had faith in God in this gift, he'd say, I want to lay right here just 1 foot from the water. And he'd say, lay me where I'm on my right side where I can watch it. So as soon as that water began to trouble, he could shove himself over into that, knowing that God would heal him. That's just me giving you an example there. What? There was a gift of God who was rich in mercy. They had all done all kinds of things wrong. That's God is rich in mercy. He gives to you a way of escape. I don't care what you've done. He gives to you a way of escape. My brother Bram said, if you've got a desire to come, you better come.
Amen.
You should come.
That's right.
Right? Because if you had done sinned away your day of grace, you wouldn't want to come. Didn't he say that?
That's right.
If you had got so far that God didn't want you, then you wouldn't even want to come. And God might let you go through a season like that for a little while. But in reality, if you're even thinking about it, if you're even thinking and saying, well, I don't really want God, but it's constantly going through your head, then it is too.
Yeah.
You are thinking about it, see? Because he had let you just go right off and just in excess and never come back, never think about it whatsoever. And so, gave him the pool of Bethesda. And then, of course, that was happening in that hour. Because Jesus walked through and there was all kinds of people there. And there was one man and he came to him. Why are you here? Well, when the waters get troubled, nobody helps me into the water. Right? But now, the greater gift was present.
Amen.
And so Jesus healed that one and went on about his business.
Right.
Election. God may not do for your neighbor what he's done for you, but election dictates God's own desire because of his own election causes him to have to come your way, to have to work with you, to have to deal with you. Just like he went to the woman at the well. He had to go there because there was representation in her, and that made that word come to that representation. And you come into this world with a gene of God in your life, when the word is working through this land and moving around through different ministries, that word begins to move on a man's heart and says, I've got to go right down here to Van Buren. I've got to go over here. What is it? Is the word, the living word, going to that attribute that's calling out? So the word's coming to you. One way or the other, it's coming. To quicken those things that you have need of. Quicken the word in you. And so he gave to them the pool of Bethesda and then gave Jesus Christ the final and the ultimate. And then Jesus Christ gives to us seven messengers and a fivefold ministry. And in our last days gives to us a message. God, who is rich in mercy, has given us a message. Giving us the way. So now we can go free. Under our messenger, see, because it's a third Exodus, God came down with a prophet, and they could go free. And he gave them a Joshua that could go ahead and finish it off and take them in. And that's happening in this day. So now we hear, when that birth to the word comes in our heart, now we go free. Now we can soar. Now we can begin to fly. We've been given our wings. And now we can begin to stick it into the word and begin to make the word. I know this sounds hard, but make the word work for us.
Yeah.
And that sounds selfish. That sounds, you know, I don't want to just come to church so that I can see what God wants to do for me. I want to praise him. I want to give him honor and glory because he deserves it more. He deserves that more than I deserve his blessings. But the truth is that his program is designed to where you're going to be blessed. And we have a thankfulness and a gratitude we want to express back to them. That's why we come to church. You have somebody that says, oh, you don't have to go to church. I'll show you a person that doesn't want to give gratitude back to God like they need to. We want to assemble in the house of God with believers of like precious faith, so our licks of fire come together and we can present back to God as a living unit our thankfulness to Him, and that He could come down in His presence and bless us as a family and His children around the supper table. And yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. Family's supposed to gather around the supper table together. Man, it's just not right when they don't. It's never the same when there's one missing. I don't want to gather on the other side and find somebody missing. I don't want to sit around the family of God, the table of God with the family of God, and look out and find there's a place missing. I don't like that. You understand what I'm saying? We want all present when we feast upon the Word. We want all present when we come there and appear on that day on the other side. So we're now able to go free because God has done this. Why? Because Pharaoh's been destroyed, his hold upon us, his false teachings upon us, thinking that we're limited by all this nonsense and all these things. Now we're set free because we know better. We've had right thinking come to us. Revelation has come to us. The germ of life, to realize that there's a germ of life in us, and we are the elect of God, and God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen? So I want to ask you questions. Who was the elect in the day of the Exodus, the first Exodus? Who is the elect? And you're going to say Israel. But let's take it from a different approach. If I told you and you didn't know, and I told you, go out there in the world and I want you to find to me who the elect are. Who are the elect of God? Go out there and find it. And you could go and you could look and look and look and say, I don't know. How do I know? How will I know? Go out and find the people to whom God sent a prophet. There's your elect. Because God don't play games. God sent Moses right to His elect, and if they hadn't have been elect, that prophet had not been there. So who's the elect today? Third Exodus. Who's the elect today? Go search it out. You'll find it. It's those to whom God sent a prophet. Where is that at? Think about it. Who is the elect? The ones that God sent a prophet to. Now, a little bit further, who are those? After Moses is fading out and Joshua's coming on the scene, who's the elect? Well, it's the same one that God sent the prophet to, right? But now we're in a different ministry. Who is it that's the elect now? Those to whom Joshua is placing in the Word. Those to whom Joshua is placing in the Word, and to show you, those to whom wings are given through this whole ministry, those to whom wings are given, and now they can soar in the Word that everybody else wants to keep quiet about because they don't understand it. Nobody wants to talk about something you don't know about.
That's right.
A lot of people do. But if you're really honest, you don't want to be talking about something you don't know. You like to be talking about something you know about. Okay, so nobody else wants to talk about the book of Revelation, and the ones who do get it all scrupled up. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that in Matthew, there's two groups there. He separates, and some of them go into life eternal, and uses the word eternal, but the others go into everlasting judgment.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about what's the difference between those, but we love it because it tells us there is no eternal hell. So they don't want to talk about that. They can't soar in these truths, but we can. So He's given us the wings of Joshua ministry. He's given us the wings. So there's your elect. So I say that because it is our human nature to become desensitized to anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I can go, we can find, go to a restaurant and order something, and man, this is good. I'm going to get this next time. Go back the next week or the next month or whenever. Order the same thing. Oh, but it wasn't quite as good as it was.
That's right.
And you go back again, and after about the third or fourth time, it's like, I think I'll get something else.
Yeah.
Still the same, but you get accustomed to it. And this message burns our heart alive at first, and then after a while, it's like, yeah, there's one God. There's no three. It's not three. Yeah.
Come on.
Remember what he said? They lost their sincerity.
Yep.
See what I mean? These truths are just as much real and alive now as they were the first day we heard them, and they mean just as much, and actually mean more, because we're down here where it's closer to body changing. These things that set us free got to really come to pass and have place in our life now, more so than then. You see what I'm saying? So we don't want to let the word become something that's common to us. We want to remember that God has done great things for us to be able to sit here and listen to the word that God has expressed to us here and in the tapes of the sermons of the message. Don't let that be, because I'll tell you, try to talk to somebody else and they just can't go there with you. You can't be up here 40,000 feet talking to a blue jay. You've got to come down here where the blue jay is. The problem is where the blue jay is, there's not a rapture. It's up here. So as that time comes, we have to spend more time up here than we do down here. And so what are we saying? More time in the depth of the word. It's a paradox. Depth in the height of the things that God, in the freedoms from what this world wants to hold us. We become more and more free, more and more free, and less like the world, because we're getting free from the things of the world. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
And so God has done that in this hour. That's who the elect is. Go search this earth and find out who it is. It will be those who are listening to a vindicated prophet who's telling them how to leave out from the bondage of the world and how to enter into the things of God. Rapturing faith lays on those messages.
Amen.
Right, on those tapes, which is now in MP3s. So now we come to the place, as we soar in the heavens and the word, we come to the place, the first time in history, where there's a group of people that can actually take the book and eat it. Couldn't happen before. But we can take that book and we can eat it and prophesy to many peoples, nations, and tongues. You love the Lord.
Amen.
So we want the way, right? The way.
Amen.
The way takes us to the place God said we would have in this hour. You know, this time of year is always a special time of year to me, because it's the time of resurrection. Mm-hmm. And I realize God could have the rapture anytime. But this time of year is always special, because it's springtime. Spring is a new life coming forth. It's a resurrection. It's that kind of thing. And so I'm always in high expectation. Not that that's the way the Lord's going to do it, but it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't on some Easter morning that he'd call us. Amen. And if he does, it's going to be because we're soaring out here in these truths. He that hath an ear to hear. Because not everybody's got that ear. But he that hath that ear, hear. Listen. Not he that hath an ear, go listen to something else. But he that hath an ear, be tuned in to what I'm saying. Amen. Because by doing that, you're going to catch what the Spirit wants you to know. Amen. We love the Lord. Let's let the musicians come. As we get ready to close in service, I want to remind everyone that this Wednesday is the time that we, Brother Daniel and I, will be going, standing at the auction, try and obtain this building. We've waited almost 5 years for something to happen on it. And as we've said all along, we just want the will of the Lord, that we'd have God's favor, that would direct us exactly the way he wants us to go. And so that if he allows us to obtain this place under the conditions of there, we know that's a nod from the Lord. That's the way to the will of God for us to go. And we also have to believe that if he says no, then he's got another way. As I told Brother Daniel this morning in the back, I said, God's always positive and he always moves forward. So if he ever says no to you, it's because he's not going backwards, but it's because he's got something else better. And as Brother Branham said, his no's are just as good as his yes's when no is his will. But we try to be open and honest before the Lord, try to be honorable and say, Lord, you know, yeah, it'd be a ton of work if we did it. But we're willing to do that. And Lord, if it's not this and we have to go do something else, we're willing to do that too.
Yeah.
But so I want to ask, we're going to pray here in closing service, and I want us to all join in and pray together over this situation this Wednesday. I've never been involved in an auction, so I, in myself, you know, not like this is going to be. So you should pray that we will have the understanding on how this works and everything, which I think is pretty straightforward. But you know, we certainly want to pray and be put our desperacy before God and say, Lord, help us in this hour to do what's right. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, Lord, we want to thank You, Lord, because of this great words that You have so shared with us in this day. Lord, it's Your people, just like it's always been in the world, we have to break free from the things that want to hinder us and come up into this great revelation of Your Word. And Lord, You've committed so much to us in this hour that we just want to be in Your presence, and we want to know how, Lord, to soar higher and be less influenced by this world and be more heavenly minded, just, Lord, to the place that we could just absolutely leave once and for all. We ask, God, that You'd help us with this sermon this morning, God, that You just allow to go down into our hearts and have a permanent place there, the seeds to grow, and we grow into these truths, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for being merciful to us and giving us words that we can believe upon that set us free. And Lord, as we come to this portion of closing service, we want to just pray over the situation here in this building, and Lord, that we've been up against for so long. Lord, we just are happy to be in service to You and to be in service to Your people and to be in fellowship with Your people. And Lord, in this earth, we look for places of rest where we can just really sink down and just do something, Lord, in freedom. And so, Lord, that's what we're looking for, is that in the remainder of time that we're here on this earth, that You would provide for us a permanent place, a fellowship, a building, Lord, that we could assemble under. And so, God, perhaps it's this place, You led us in this direction, held us here at this time. We're asking, God, that You would give to us favor, Lord, this Wednesday, that this auction would go exactly the way You would have it. God, that You could be honored in every way and in no way be dishonored, Lord, that You could be honored and Your people would be blessed and glorified in Your presence, Lord, to know that they are Your people, Lord, that they would stand in Your glory, that Your glory would shine through them. We ask, God, that You'd help us, help Brother Daniel and I to be at the right place, be at the right time, say and do the right thing that would be according to Your will, Lord. We give honor and praise to You and ask, God, that You'd help us in these things. Help us to take this word as we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We want to sing this song.
Have Your way in me.
someone just tell you that if you'd like to have prayer this morning, Brother Daniel and I will be happy to pray with you as we get ready to go. Amen. It's all of what we want is to see you soar in the blessings of heaven. Amen. So our time's close. I'm leaving here. Maybe some of us sooner than others, but hopefully all of us together. Amen. That's a revelation in itself. Moment and twinkling in my eye, but is that in Arkansas or is that in California, or as the light shines from east to the west, how does it go? But God knows, and you know what, that spirit that's in you knows, right?
Yeah.
That life that's quickened in you, it's ordained to recognize the word. It's ordained to receive it right as God sends it out. Amen. So we're happy for that, and so we know that time's coming. I believe it's soon, and look at world events, and I don't know. It's sad to talk to people at work and, world events can look like that it's going to be tomorrow and nobody seems to be worried about it, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the way it is. Brother Bam said sometimes they just laugh in your face, but you go ahead and do it anyway. Amen. So we want to be ready for that hour. God bless you. We'll sing another song as we're getting ready to finish this.
Till there's no